back, and I hope most all of you have seen the video at the top of the homepage, directly from Donetsk with the remarkable, heroic Russell Bentley. He's a friend of mine, a friend of yours. He is a friend of the people there. He is a great representative of this country, living over there with his family, and he is on the line now. Hard to believe, but we made it. Hi, Russell. Welcome back. Glad you're okay.
Hey, Jeff. How's it going?
I'm watching closely. I'm watching closely with the video that's up there. We heard the firefight that was going on last night and today. Big artillery. You can hear it off in the distance, and you can hear the impact up closer. And the Russians are reporting that 5 UKROP soldiers were killed. Some of their heavy equipment was destroyed. I don't know who was doing the shooting, but maybe you can shed some light on all this right now.
Well, it just turned 7 o'clock in the morning here. It's cold, dark, sun's just beginning to come up. It's a bit rainy, and it's very, very quiet. All my friends are now back in the Army. They had a mobilization here. I'm 61, so I'm over the age of getting drafted again. But most of my friends, pretty much all of them, except I have one buddy that got wounded, so he's exempt. I have another friend who's an Orthodox monk who's also exempt. But other than that, pretty much everybody I know of the male gender is back in the Army right now. It's the city is half deserted. It's kind of weird to drive around. There was a big celebration last night in Lenin Plaza when the announcement was made. They had some fireworks and everybody was cheering. It's a difficult situation to predict from here, but really I believe that there's going to be a big, hard battle now, and we're going to liberate Ukraine, at least as far as Kiev, from the Western occupation that's been going on for 8 years since the Maidan coup d'etat, and we're going to spank some Nazis hard.
Lots of news. The Americans have apparently ordered all personnel now to leave the embassy in Kiev. Get them out of there as soon as possible, which would be, well, it speaks for itself. That's pretty obvious what thinking is right now. What time of day is it there right now, Russell? It's about 7 a.m., 6 a.m., something like that?
It's 7 a.m., just turned 7 o'clock in the morning.
Sounds like a good time for a battle to start, doesn't it?
Well, it's going to. I mean, I'm sure that the world is in shock at this point. It is a game changer, you know, on the political and economic front. But on the military front, there's still 150,000, Ukrainian army, Nazi volunteers, ISIS, Western mercenaries, just a few miles. I actually moved with my wife into the center of the city last night on the advice of some friends in the Army who said that things were going to get real, real hot in Petrovsky. We'll be going out there, back to our house as we can. You know, one of the main considerations is there's been kind of a shortage of gasoline since everybody kind of, has been filling up their cars and stuff recently. Petrovsky's a bit out in the boondocks, so I wanted to be able to have enough gasoline to get around in my little car, but also, electricity will be more reliable and internet will be more reliable here in the city than out on the edges where we live. So we have a place here in the center where we can stay for some days, and we'll hang out here and see how things develop.
Well, we'll be with you every step of the way, whatever we can do to help. We really appreciate you keeping us informed. We're getting the truth from you, not the lies from the Kiev creeps. They're really disgusting. This Zelensky is scum, just really arch scum.
Well, he's got himself a little coke problem like Hunter Biden, same kind of deal, you know. I mean, that,
why
and
am I
fact,
not surprised? Yeah, everybody's got a price. You put the white powder in their nose, and you own them. It's that simple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Frank Zappa used to call it weasel dust.
Frank was a smart man. He really was something
he
else.
He was a genius.
Yes, he was. Okay. Russia showed some video of destroyed Ukrainian invaders' vehicles. Did you see that video? I haven't seen it.
Yes, I have seen it. I mean, it's, you know, it's just indicative. It's the perfect indication of just how not only how little control, central control, the Ukrainian government has over its military, but how crazy these people are that have been given some very serious weapons. You know, I mean, for Ukrainians to, you know, make an incursion into, you know, actual Russian territory is, you know, I mean, that's off the charts crazy. You know,
sure.
I mean,
sure.
You know, it's like a mouse trying to bite an elephant or something, you know.
Well, looking at the video here, and we have it up at the top of headlines for all of you out there who'd like to see it. It's an APC. Looks like the hatches are open and the crew got out quickly, if they got out. I don't know how this was hit. It doesn't seem to me that it would have been hit by artillery. It looks to me like it might have been hit by something from the ground, like an RPG or something. I don't know. How does it look to you?
I think it was probably an RPG, you know, when the border guards, you know, they're pretty mobile units.
Yeah.
So they'll be on foot and carrying, you know, man portable gear. You know, when I was in the DPR Army, I was an RPG man myself, and they're an extremely effective weapon against armor and other things too. So I think probably it was something light, maybe even not an RPG-7, but like they have the RPG-21-22, which is kind of like the U.S. law, you know, light anti-tank weapon, which it makes a small hole, but it makes a big problem for everybody inside.
Got it. Russia says 5 Ukrop soldiers killed in border firefight. We don't know how many really. How credible is that stat? Any guess?
That'll be completely credible. I mean, it's been hot. Yesterday in Petrovsky, Ukrainian artillery killed one civilian, one soldier, and wounded 3 other soldiers very seriously. You know, I mean, so it's a back and forth right now. You know, I mean, people are dying, not just soldiers, but, you know, along the front, which, as people need to really understand there in the States, is that the front lines of this war are literally on the edge of our major cities. I mean, you know, I'm in the center of Donetsk, which is the biggest city in the Donbass Republics. It's a little over 1 million people. And, you know, the city limit is the front line. I mean, from the center of the city, you know, it's maybe 8 miles to the front lines. And
that's
in
amazing.
Many places, less than that.
The tactics would be still to try to break into the city, to surge in, to hold the civilians hostage to a degree. Would that be it still? Are we still looking
at
the same?
Well, that's certainly my estimate, you know, from looking at the situation back in 2014. They made a major assault and tried in early 2015 again. And both times they, you know, got literally annihilated because they were coming through open country. They were trying to bypass the cities and get to the border and seal the border, which, you know, particularly now after the Russians have recognized this, is a tactic that simply can't work because the Russians will come across the border. You know, it's not as if they can, you know, seal the border from the DPR forces, you know, which are like one-fifth as big as the Ukrainian forces. But they can't, you know, I mean, because now Russians will just come across the border to liberate us.
Mm-hmm.
So their only chance, the only chance the Ukrainians really have of not immediate complete destruction is to come directly into the cities
and use the city as cover. Yeah, and the people as shields. I got it.
Yeah, exactly. Human shields that would protect them against Russia's biggest military advantages, which would be its artillery, rockets, missiles, and air power.
Your job is to hold the line. You made this clear to me in our last conversation. For about 2 hours, you think, before the Russians can get there, so to speak?
Well, it's, you know, there's a lot of Russian armor and troops along the border, but it's going to take a lot longer than 2 hours for them to get here because,
okay.
You know, it's 100 kilometers, so about 60 miles from Donetsk to the border. Okay. Lugansk is quite a bit closer to the border. But the main cities in Donetsk People's Republic, which would be Donetsk, Makiivka, Iznovata, Gorlovka, they're all about 50 or 60 miles from the border. And, you know, there's only so many roads, and those roads have been quite filled up with traffic the last few days from people evacuating to Russia, to Rostov. So it's going to take, you know, the actual ground troops probably a whole day to get here, you know, but it takes about 5 minutes for a cruise missile to get here, you know. So well, I figure air power is going to be a decisive factor.
Is the weather good enough now for Iskander missiles, for plane-launched missiles to come to the rescue?
Oh, yeah.
Initially?
Well, I mean, those kind of things don't really – weather doesn't really affect them that much, you know. I mean, they have you know, thermal infrared imagers, you know, radar that aim those things, and, you know, in the dark, in the rain, in the cold, whatever.
Got it.
It's real tough to hide from those.
There is another issue that I want to revisit. When Vladimir Putin gave, I think you said it was 75, how many passports did he give to citizens?
700,000.
700,000 passports given to people in the free republics, making them Russian citizens. You understand,
that's
everyone?
That's right. I myself have Russian, one. And
they're
Russian.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're probably a legend over there. You deserve it. You've certainly put your life on the line and brought the truth to the world. We go back, almost 8 years now, I guess, since that Maidan thing. Everyone who has a Russian passport is a Russian citizen. Russia has every legal right to defend its citizenry. Now, a lot of them are trying to get out. I don't know if they're being stopped, if there's any effort made to cut that exodus off, but there are a lot leaving, and that's understandable. These are probably mostly families with children, and, you know,
well,
God bless
the
them
situation
all. Hope they get out.
With the evacuation is it's very clear cut. If it's women and children and elderly and disabled people are actually being evacuated, they're being taken into the Rostov Oblast, which an oblast is like, say, a state. It's the state that's right across the border from the Donetsk People's Republic and Lugansk People's Republic. People are being moved out on buses, free transportation. They're being given shelter, food, everything they need. They're also getting 10,000 rubles, which is about 150 bucks.
Sure.
And so, I mean, they're being given money. They're being given the free transportation, food and lodging. So, but this applies to everybody except military-aged men. So there's no, you know, guys that try and show up on the border are getting sent back and put into, you know, reserve units.
Well, it has to happen. Sure.
Well, Russell, there's no republic without defenders.
No, none. I see Lugansk and I see Luhansk over and over. There's no steady use of the two terms. Which is correct, Lugansk or Luhansk?
Well,
are they both acceptable?
Luhansk is in the Ukrainian pronunciation and Lugansk is the Russian pronunciation.
Ah, okay. All right, I get it now. Very good. All right. Moscow is now, again, rightly demanding answers from NATO. NATO has caused this whole thing. It looks to me, and I think any honorable, honest journalist here in the West, it looks like the West has done everything humanly possible to force conflict with Russia. I don't know how else to see it.
There's no other way to see it. I mean, they overthrew the democratically elected government. That was absolutely 100% the USA work, with some help from NATO and the IMF. And I mean, even now, as they have been talking about peace and stuff, they're sending in hundreds of tons of weapons a day, you know.
A day, still, into Ukraine.
Yeah, sure. Well, except, I did read that since the recognition last night, there's been several NATO plane loads coming in to make deliveries, but not with weapons, but with Vaseline.
Excuse me?
It's a joke, man.
I got it.
They're bringing in loads of Vaseline for all the crying new crops.
I got it. That's funny. All right. Oh, man. All right. So with the exit of the UK forces, the Americans getting out of the embassy and all that, what's left with Ukraine to really fight with in terms of NATO? They're not a member of NATO. What do they have? They got their own. They're getting 100 tons a day of weaponry, and at least certainly ammunition. So they got the hardware.
They do have the hardware. They have about 150,000, which is over half of all the personnel in their active military on the front line in Donbass. They have been given a lot of weapons over the years, and it's been accelerated recently. A lot of artillery shells coming in from other former Warsaw Pact, especially the Baltics, Lithuania, Estonia, and Latvia, have been sending a lot of artillery in, artillery shells. You know, it's one of the most interesting and strangest things is they brought in a full heavy plane load, about 100 tons of small arms ammunition that was for NATO weapons, M16s, M2 50 caliber machine guns, 40 millimeter grenades. And this is really strange because Ukrainian army uses, pretty much exclusively, more than 98% of their weapons are, Russian-based Warsaw Pact AK-47s, Russian artillery and stuff like that. So it's strange that they...
What's your guess? What's your guess?
Well, I think how it's going to end up is that Russia is going to liberate Ukraine, and maybe even already a deal has been made about this. Uh-huh. Russia is going to liberate Ukraine as far as Kiev. If you look on a map, probably I think along a line from just west of Kiev to a point at the northern border of Moldova.
Okay.
And that cuts it's about take two-thirds of Ukraine, including the capital. And then they're just going to stop there. The west of Ukraine is a very, very hardcore pro-Nazi, anti-Russian. And there's really not much there. It's like, it's rural. There's no major cities, no industry. And I think the Russians are just going to say it's better. There's no need to, go through a hard fight with these brainwashed pro-Nazis. So maybe that U.S. NATO ammunition was to be sent to the West. There's the 82nd Airborne, the 101st Airborne are in Poland right now. And I think at some point they may even come in to a certain distance into Ukraine from the West. But the last thing that they want, And there's thousands of U.S. soldiers there right now in Poland. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. last thing they want is to get into a direct fight with Russia. You know, that would be, you know, it would be suicide for them and, you know, suicide for anybody else that jumped into that fight. Russia has complete military dominance over Ukraine in every measure. And
got it.
I don't think that those guys, you know, if they come into Ukraine, it's going to be because Russia already said, okay, you can come in this far and don't come any further.
Interesting. Very interesting. How is, and I don't want you to give any sources up, how is your personal intel? You know a lot of people. Is that your best guess on predicated on rumor, good rumors?
Well, yeah, I do. I mean, you know, I have, I was on the radio here in Donetsk yesterday, and the woman asked me, like, you know, who are my friends here? And the vast majority of my friends are either active duty military here or veterans. Right. The other ones are either Russian Orthodox priests and monks or else musicians. And that's pretty much covers all my friends here. So I have a lot of, I mean, like I said, all my friends are gone right now because they're either on the base or on the front. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so, you know, I have a lot of friends that are in, shall we say, you know, Spetsnaz units. I was in the Spetsnaz for a while, and, you know, a lot of the guys that I served with in 2015 and 2017 are now, you know, very elite warriors, and mm-hmm. I'm still in touch with them. So, you know, what they tell me, I mean, the reason that we moved to the city, to the center of the city yesterday is because, you know, they were saying, hey, man, it's going to be some big changes. Petrovsky is going to be... As you know, if you look on a map, if you can see a map of the front line of the Donbass front,
sure.
It's Petrovsky district sticks out into the Ukrainian lines.
Understood.
It's surrounded literally on three sides, and there's only a couple of main roads out of there. So, you know, there's a very good chance that that'll be like one of the, you know, first places that they advance on. And, I mean... You know, I'm on the death list. They have Ukrainians have a website. It's called Mirotvorets, which means peacemaker. But all it is basically a death list. You know, the people on there are, you know, I mean, basically they're doxxed. You know, they put up as much information, their pictures, you know, their addresses, whatever they can to identify them. And and people have been, you know, beaten to death, you know, shot in the back, stuff like that. So, you know, I'm sure they know my house address, and I'm sure that they know, you know, and I know for a fact that I'm on the list. You know, even from 2015, there was a $60,000 reward for my head, but they still haven't gotten
$60,000, Russell?
Yeah, that was.
It's a lot of money.
A million grievances, a million Ukrainian grievances back then.
Yeah.
But, you know,
yeah.
The funny thing is, and there was another guy that I was working with back in 2015, and he really came he was tricked into thinking that he was going to a frontline position by a mm-hmm. traitor, a Ukrainian spy that was in one of our military units. And he realized at the very last minute what was going on, and he was able to get out of that situation. And we did actually capture the guy that was trying to sell him. But, you know, I mean, so it's a pretty serious deal here. You know, I mean, these are real Nazis. These are real killers. You know, I mean, they have battalions of ISIS that Erdogan has flown in from Syria.
This is a mind blow. Americans don't know any of this. What the hell's with Erdogan? Jeez. I guess
he's a strange dude. He's not somebody that anybody wants to trust.
No, good thinking. This is a big story. Hold on, Russell and I will be right back with more in just a couple minutes, live from Donetsk in free Ukraine. Stand by. Okay, welcome back. Exclusive conversation with our friend, my friend and colleague of a number of years now, Russell Bentley, who is right in the middle of Donetsk, the biggest city and the free republics in eastern free Ukraine, and they are standing by. It looks as if something big is in the works. If they're going to trigger it, it seems to me, Russ, they're going to have to trigger it pretty damn soon. It just seems that way.
Yeah.
Okay, it's okay. Here's the deal. This thing can't keep playing around footsies and patty cake for much longer. They either have to make their move or they got to give it up. What do you think? Tomorrow?
They're not going to give it up. They're not going to give it up, bro. I mean, okay, so I expect that the next thing that's going to happen is that the Russians will give a warning. You know, I mean, the Russians, they have the best electronic warfare in the world.
Yeah.
You know, they can send an SMS message to every soldier's telephone on the whole front line all at once. And I expect that's what will be their next steps, to say, look, if you want to live, then, you know, put down your weapon, get out of your tank, and start walking home. Now, the reason that there are, you know, thousands, probably tens of thousands out of the 150,000 of the troops on the line are, you know, these Western mercenaries, ISIS, the hardcore Nazi volunteer battalions, and those guys are there exactly to keep soldiers from, you know, saying, hey, I'm not going to do this, and walking away.
Sure.
So
yeah, I got it.
Once Russia sends a message that says, look, you know, if we have to come in, and we will have to, and we're going to, then there's nothing going to be left except dog food of anybody that tries to fight against us. So, you know, make your choice. Either, you know, you can fight against us, which will be very one-sided and very short and very fatal, or you can fight against, you know, the Nazis and the ISIS that are standing behind you, you know, prodding you in the back with the bayonet.
Sure.
The choice is yours, you know, and I think that a lot of the people that, you know, conscripts that have been forced into the military on Ukraine don't really want to be there. They don't want to fight against their own, you know, people. They certainly don't want to fight against the Russian army, which will overwhelm them in every, you know, six ways from Sunday. So I think they'll decide that rather, no, that now, like our grandfathers did and their grandfathers did, the time has come to fight against the Nazis, just like in World War II, and then go home and make peace in Ukraine.
Well, there is a possibility of a long-term, reasonably equitable settlement here. Let's hope that that happens, and maybe with a minimal loss of life. That APC.
That is certainly exactly the plan. You know, I mean, first of all, you know, as I have long pointed out, you know, this isn't a war between Russians and Ukraine, or even a Ukrainian civil war. This is a foreign-backed occupation that has brought to power, you know, the most evil kind of people in the world, which is genuine neo-Nazis that have swastikas on their flags and their uniforms, tattoos, you know, like that. And so it's a war between normal people and Nazis. And the normal people are defending themselves. And, you know, the whole idea, Russia is going to take responsibility for the vast part of Ukraine. And I mean, and it's been, you know, it's been, you know, environmentally, economically, socially, it's been raped for the last 8 years. And now Russia's going to come in.
Oh.
They don't want a giant war that's going to destroy all the infrastructure. They don't want, you know, thousands or hundreds of thousands of casualties. That, you know, they don't want any kind of humanitarian catastrophe. They do intend to denazify Ukraine, to give the people of Ukraine back their country from the foreign occupation that it's under now. But they want to do it in as bloodless of a way as possible, as as least destruction as possible. So they're going to have mercy on everybody that's deserving of it, you know, which does not include Nazis and ISIS cannibals, you know.
I can't believe they got that many ISIS Arab killers in there under some kind of cohesion. That's amazing to me.
Well, you know, I mean, if you think about it, you know, the same people that put the Nazis in power in Ukraine are the exact same people that created ISIS.
Oh, I hate to say who it is, because most of you know who it is out there already, and it has to do with the Western power elite. They did it. Here.
They sure did.
Today, Vladimir Putin signed an announcement, a document, that made Luhansk and Donetsk full recipients of Russian recognition. And there were big celebrations in town, which was kind of neat to see. How did that go over? Tell us a little bit more about that. That's very exciting.
Well, you know, the way that it has been put here, you know, by one of the guys that I read the most and have the most respect and confidence in his opinion is Alexander Khodorkovsky, who's the founder and commander of the Vostok Brigade, which is the military unit that I served in back in 2014, 2015, and 2017.
Right.
And the way that he put it is that, you know, it's like, you know, this recognition, it doesn't really, I mean, there's still a war to be fought. Maybe the hardest part of that war is still yet to come. But at least now we officially know that we are not fighting alone. So, you know, and, you know, there's a great graphic that I've seen before. And it shows a little baby bear cub sitting outside of a cave, you know, like playing in the sunlight. And a little bear cub, it's got like the DPR flag on it. And then if you look into the cave in the shadows, you know, you see the giant mama bear. You know, you can barely see it in the shadows, but it's there.
Yeah,
and it's got the Russian flag, you know, so.
Yeah.
We have, you know, we just got officially told that, you know, the greatest military on earth has now got our back. So we know how this is going to end up.
They ought to use that picture of that APC that was blown up with the hatches all out. I don't know if the guys got out or not, but they should use that.
No, they didn't get out.
They didn't get out.
That's, I mean, when you see a blown up tank, you know, it's 99% of the time nobody got out.
Because the projectile goes inside and explodes, correct?
It blows through. It's a shaped charge. It blows through the steel. And then, I mean, it's, you know, I mean, it's hard for, you know, regular non-military people to even, you know, conceptualize or comprehend.
I can't imagine it.
What goes on inside of an armored vehicle.
Well, there's a perfect thing to put on that phone feed if he does it. Here's what waits you. You know, you want to go home or do you want to fly up in this APC? Simple. Now, a lot of people are, I'm sure, listening to this program right now, and I don't know if the price on your head is going up or down, but you are the spokesman in the Western world for what's going on there. And if you had a message from the people there, what would it be? What would they want us to know? Any idea how to phrase that?
Well, I mean, the most important thing is, you know, that basically what the U.S. government and Western mass media says, you know, is not just, you know, that everything they say is a lie. It's that it's 180 degrees the opposite of the truth. You know, and when people talk about a Russian invasion, you know, I mean, that's like, you know, saying that, you know, the United States invaded Normandy on D-Day. You know, it's not an invasion. It's a liberation. You know, when people talk about, you know, democracy in Ukraine, there's no such thing there. I mean, every election has been fake. It's been determined ahead of time who's going to win, not by the people of Ukraine, but by their masters in the West, you know, and particularly in the United States. I mean, Joe Biden is, you know, he was the head. He was basically the president of Ukraine all throughout the Obama administration.
Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the sickening truth? God. It is.
Right. You know, when they talk about Hunter Biden getting paid $50,000 a month to be on the board of Burisma, I mean, and that was the peanuts, man. That's just what he was paying his hookers. You know, he was stealing, and his dad, Joe Biden, was getting chunks out of billions of dollars that was stolen from Ukrainian people, and now is in the bank accounts of Hunter and Joe Biden, and also, you know, the Ukrainian oligarchs. You know, that were already billionaires, you know. I mean, so...
Oh, they were looting the country up until the last possible moment. They still are. They left,
but they're
still
looting
it. In
every way possible.
Yeah. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Bidens picked off one or two or more little boys and girls on the way. It's just the way they are.
I can tell you, bro, that since the Maidan coup, Ukraine has become one of the major hubs in the world for human trafficking. And, I mean, that's documented fact, particularly in the city of Odessa, when it was under control of Saakashvili. I mean, who was appointed the governor of Odessa Oblast. You know, he was a fugitive. you know, he was wanted in his own country, Georgia, which, by the way, he's back there now, and he's sitting in prison right now. But they appointed him, a foreigner, a wanted criminal from a different country, and they said, okay, you can be the governor of Odessa Oblast. And while he was there, I mean, this guy's a complete, you know, U.S. Puppet.
Stooge.
You know, and a
stooge. Yes.
Stooge, yes. And a complete criminal, man. I mean, and while he was there, the major industries were the export of little girls and boys and the import of toxic and nuclear waste that they just brought in and basically dumped in the forest. And so these are the people that Russia is going to liberate Ukraine from. The people in Ukraine pay 400-500% more, and that's four or five times more, you know, to heat their apartments than the people in the DPR do. You know, I mean, it's like... You almost feel sorry for them, you know. And there's a lot of good people there that do deserve to be, you know, have sympathy and stuff. And we're going to go in and we're going to liberate Ukraine from foreign occupation and neo-Nazi oppression. And we're going to make it a better country. You know, I mean, you look at all the countries that the U.S. and NATO have invaded, you know, in the last 30 years, and you can't name one where... Not only has anything not gotten better, but in every case, you know, it's gone horribly, horribly worse. And Ukraine is the exact same. And we're gonna reverse that trend. We're going to, you know, liberate Ukraine and make it a good, decent place, a good, reliable, trustworthy partner for the Russian Federation, where we don't have to worry about mad dogs right on our borders. And It's going to be a good thing.
And maybe you can bring 25% of your young women home. Huh?
Yeah, that's a fact, man. It's going to be a good thing for the whole world.
Okay, I just got a note from one of our listeners. Great interview with Texas Russell Bentley. Do you guys think that all the weaponry from the Middle East that we left behind, that Biden left behind, $80 billion worth, was left behind to be shipped partially at least to Ukraine for this purpose? Do you have any knowledge about that? Did they bring any of the Afghan weaponry down from there?
Well, I do specifically know, and I don't think that it's been imported from Afghanistan because the United States no longer controls those weapons. But I do know specifically and for a fact that the United States had purchased some MI-24 military helicopters And they bought them from, I don't know, Poland or, you know, one of the old Warsaw Pact nations. Sure. And they had bought these helicopters to give to the Afghan army. And when they left, they still had these helicopters in the United States. And those helicopters have been sent now to the Ukrainian army.
Interesting.
So, I mean,
okay.
That's the thing. I mean, it's like the weapons that they are sending, and they're not giving them either. They're selling them on credit, but they are selling them like these in-law anti-tank missiles from the that the British gave. You know, these weapons, they have a shelf life after which, you know, it's dangerous to use them because it can explode, right on launch.
In the launcher. Oh, sure. Yeah.
And
I've heard that before. Mm-hmm. I've heard that.
The shelf life is 20 years, and all the rockets that the Brits sent to the Ukrainians are 19 and a half years old.
I've heard this. Yes, I've heard it.
Fact.
Old on-the-shelf weapons that need to be burned up. They got to use them. Then they'll replace them and make more money. That's what they do. Same old story. How interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll find
out. But, of course,
out.
They're still charging full price.
Oh, absolutely. Same old crap. It just is really amazing to me the strength and durability of your people there. And I include you in them. They're just extraordinary people to have stood up with this crap. I mean, people don't understand that all the time on the front line, there are snipers trying to take them out. They're just going about their daily business. And those, if you look at the video at the top of the homepage, that artillery, big, those are some big guns, way off in the distance. Boom! And then the explosion seemingly hit closer. This is not a joke. Are they still doing that right now, Russell? Can you hear it from city center, or have they calmed down a little bit? Do you know?
It's right now. It seems like it's the calm before the storm. It's very quiet right now this morning, at least from what I can hear in the city center. And generally, I've been here before when it was heavy on the front line, and you can hear it too. I mean, as I say, it's only a few miles to the front, even from the center of the city.
Sure.
And you know, so if it gets really heavy on the front, you can hear it in the center. And but right now it's pretty quiet.
Okay.
I don't expect that to last very long.
How close would you say the leadership of the Donbass Republic's military and the Russian military is? How closely are they working together? Can you give us any insight on that?
Well, you know, there have been advisors here from the Russian military for a while.
Sure.
And we do have a working relationship with them, you know, I mean, because the Russians understand that, you know, who defends Donbass is also defending Russia. You know, they also have their own, self-defense interests. To look after here in Donbass. You know, if these republics were to fall, Ukraine would be completely controlled by the West and Nazis, who are, admitted and mortal enemies of Russia. So Russia has their own self-defense interests to look after here, and they're doing so.
Good point.
You know, and there's never been a Russian invasion. There's never been actual Russian, military units working here. That may well change as of today.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's never been an invasion. One of the main misconceptions that people say about, like, 2014 is they say, oh, well, Russia invaded Crimea. And that wasn't the case at all.
No,
in Crimea,
wasn't.
Russia had a naval base. They had a treaty with Ukraine. Since the fall of the Soviet Union, they paid $100 million a year. You know, more than, $2 million
a day. Living up to that treaty completely, I remember it well. I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They had 20,000 troops, Russian troops, that were allowed under the treaty to be there,
under
that
the
were
treaty.
Already there. You know, so
yep.
There was no invasion.
Yep.
All the Russian troops there did was make sure that the election that the people held themselves was not interfered with.
There was a remarkable exercise in what comes closest to democracy I think we're going to see anywhere anymore. So that was very encouraging. All right.
It was.
If you see, let's just say they're unmarked, uniformed troops in groups here and there around Donetsk. That'll be your signal, probably. The Russians have penetrated. They've got people in there. They want to stiffen the lines. That APC in flames was, to me, suggestive that one of your guys went up there, laid in wait, took it out. It's exactly what it looked like.
Well, you know, they weren't laying in wait. They were just guarding the border, you know. I mean, if you see military vehicles from some other country driving into your country, you know, you have a right and an obligation to stop them however you have to.
Obligation. That's the key word. Key word.
And the one thing that I will say is that at this point with official recognition, you know, it's not going to be the guys with no insignias. It's going to be the actual Russian army coming in and saying, yes, we're here.
Good, good. All right, I look forward to that. All right, I'm here. Stay in touch. We'll get you on as often as necessary. My best wishes to you, your family, and all the wonderful people in the East who are holding strong. God bless
Thanks,
you all.
Thanks, Jeff. Good luck to all good people, bro. Davai.
Okay. All righty. Good night. Russell, Texas Bailey. Talk about having a wonderful ambassador of this country and what this country stands for over there. You got him. We got him. Okay, gang. Wow. What a Monday night. Back with you tomorrow on Tuesday. Take good care, and we will talk tomorrow night.